Good morning. We are learning Sefer Shmuel Aleph, the 15th chapter, the third and hopefully final week, which we're going to finish this chapter today. We're on page 96, Pasuk Tet Zayin. Pasuk Tet Zayin, verse 16. We were learning up until this point, discussing the mistake, the very huge mistake that Shaul made with regard to Amalek. As we mentioned last time, this was the Haftorah, which we read by Parsha Zohar, that it's necessary to completely wipe out all the Amalek. Shaul did not do this, and because of this, Shmuel is rebuking him for that mistake. We're now on Pasuk Tet Zayin, Vayomer Shmuel. So Vayomer Shmuel Shaul, so Shmuel said, Heref, as we mentioned last time, Heref, Rashi says, is Himtin, wait, stop talking, stop trying to rationalize and justify your actions. V'yagidlcha, and I'll tell you, Eis asher dibra Hashem, Eloi halayla, what Hashem said to me this night, Vayomer lo daber, and he said, speak. And you'll notice right away that in this pasuk, sometimes the kri is different than the ksav. The way it's written is different the way it's actually read. And we read it as vayomer, which means he singular, even though the way it's actually written is with a vav, which makes it and they spoke. So we look at the radak. The radak tells us on Pasuk Tet Zayin, and some of this may or may not be underlined, so I apologize, but it's the radak, vayomru lo diber, ksiv, that's how it's written. However, Vayomru, that they spoke up, to the prophet, to Shmuel, and said, continue, speak. This was not just Shmuel privately reprimanding the king, but rather Shaul was also with the Zakanim. All the elders were standing there listening to this conversation, this dialogue between Shmuel and Shaul. V'kri Vayomer Ratzalomer Shaul. So therefore, when it says Vayomer, it was really, of course, the king that gave permission to the prophet to speak, to speak up. Even the great Zakanim would not have a right to speak up in his presence. But nonetheless, it's coming to at least hint us that this conversation was not done quietly, was not done privately, but this rebuke was for that everyone should be able to see and should be able to hear the mistake that Shaul made. Continuing in Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pasuk tells us, V'yarmer Shmuel, so Shmuel, who was granted permission by the king to speak, said, Halo im katon ata v'enecha. If you think that you're so small and insignificant, Rosh Shifti Yisrael ata. It's not true. You're the Rosh. You're the head of the tribe of Israel, you are. Which one explanation could mean that he's the king, but the next part of the Pasuk says, that you're anointed as king upon the Jewish people. So it sounds like Rosh Shifti Yisrael means that your tribe that you come from, that's really the head. That's the head tribe. Now we know that what tribe did Shaul come from? Not the first tribe, one of the very last, the tribe of Binyamin. So the question is, what exactly does this mean, Rosh Shifti Yisrael Ata? So Rashi tells us, as well as the Radak as well, but the Rashi over here on Pasuk Yud Zayin says, there's a little bit of Aramaic just to confuse us, but at least it's in, there's the kudot underneath the words. Rashi says, Targum Yonasan, the translation of Shifti Dibinyamin, Avar Biyama Beresh Kol Amma. Because you would think that you come from the tribe of Benjamin, from Benjamin, maybe you would think that you are not really fit to be the king, and you're not a leader. It's not true. The tribe of Benjamin is actually the tribe that stood up, and it was Avar Bayama, Beresh Kalama. They're the ones that stood up by the sea, specifically the Sea of Reeds, by the Yam Suf, and they went in front of the entire nation. Which means when the entire nation was unsure what to do, when the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, were about to attack us, the army was coming very close, and we had nowhere to turn. It was the tribe of Binyamin that stood up and was willing to go into the water. Yeah, it's brought down afterwards that the Radak, which is lengthy, brings down the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, which we don't necessarily have to see, but it was initially the tribe of Binyamin, and then the Shevet of Yehuda also wanted to take part in that. They were almost upset that they were preempted by this other tribe, and then that they wanted to go and to jump in the water. So Binyamin went in the water. Yehuda was trying to hold them back, and the Radak actually says, "Vaschil lirgum abavanim." They're literally throwing stones at them, which is an incredible thing. Right? That's what it says. So at that moment, then the Radak says, "The kafatz nachshon ben amidav." Then there's your nachshon ben amidav. He actually went with all his tribe after him. So the point of this, the message nonetheless is that everyone gives Nachshon ben Amidav. That's the most famous guy. But really, it was Shevet Binyamin that started, that wanted to go in. So therefore, the message that Shmuel is telling Shaul is, you're trying to think that you're not a leader. You're trying to think, well, who am I? I'm a nobody. Look at the tribe. I come from out of the children of Yaakov, the youngest one. So the least significant of them all. So that's not true. Just because you're the youngest doesn't mean that you're not the head. You are the head. And therefore, what he was actually doing is that he was rebuking him in this manner. He was saying that the significance of a Rosh, we also call, let's say, the dean of a school, is called the Rosh Yeshiva, the head of the yeshiva. What does it mean, he's the head of the yeshiva? Because the head is supposed to be the one with the brain somewhere stuck in that head of oneself. That gives the body the guidance of what to do. The body doesn't lead the head. The head is what tells the whole body what to do. So as the Jewish nation is compared to a body, it's like one source would have different needs and different ways of expressing oneself. The head is the part of the body which tells the rest of the body what to do. And therefore, that's the purpose of a Rosh Yeshiva, the head of a yeshiva, or the head, the leader of a community. Not to allow the community to tell him what to do, but rather that he should be the leader to give other people the guidance.
Rabbi Thompson, why should they even say you don't think you're big? I mean, where did that come from? Why does he even say hallo im katonata?
We've seen certainly in the past that even at the moment when he was appointed as king, he was running away, he was hiding. He didn't want the position. He didn't think he was worthy for the position. And perhaps, as we've seen, that's a very noble trait. The fact that a person was an anav, right? Very humble. Like Moshe was a tremendous anav as well. But if we look in the English on page 97, it tells us a very important message. That even though it's true, it's a very noble trait to be humble. If you look where it says by 17, though you may be small in your own eyes, it's brought down by the Sichos Musar. This is a classic motto for leaders. Humility is certainly a noble virtue, but only in the proper time and place. A leader must lead. That's why you're called a leader, because you're supposed to lead. And that requires that he exerts authority over his people when they go going astray in order to guide them in God's ways. So therefore, he was telling them that you cannot act humble your whole life. There are certain points that when you are a leader, you must rise above the nation and give them the guidance that they need.
But does that imply that the people went ahead and did this without permission, or he led them to do this? That was the feeling that I got up to now.
We're going to see that the real reason why Shaul showed compassion was because he was pressured by the nation. It's going to say the nation pressured him into doing it. That he felt coerced by the nation to have to not kill certain people or certain animals. We're going to see that very clearly in the Pesukim later on in this parak. But that was the message that Shmuel gave, who knew his disciple, he knew Shaul, this king, very well. He said, don't be humble. This is not a time to be humble. You're supposed to not be pressured by them, but rather you're supposed to take lead, which was his real mistake. Also, it's not his first time. He made a different mistake by bringing the offerings before he was instructed to do so. In fact, it was supposed to be the prophet Shmuel that was supposed to bring the offerings, but he saw that his army was dwindling and the Philistine army was getting stronger and mightier, and he was being pressured. People were saying, look at your army. Where are they? They're running away from you. They're not here. So therefore, because of that, again, because of the pressures of other people, he made decisions by reacting as opposed to him being proactive. So that's the message of what it means to be a proper leader. Okay. Let's continue with the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud-Chet, verse 18. V'yishlochacha Hashem b'darech. So, you are a leader, and not only are you the leader of the Jewish people, you are anointed as the king. And furthermore, Hashem sent you on your way. V'yomer, and he said, Lech, go, v'charamta es ha-chata'im, as a molech. I want you to destroy the sinners, Amalek. They call Amalek the people who are sinners. V'nilcham tobo ad kalosam osam. And I want you to wipe them out and to destroy them until they cease to exist. Everything has to be destroyed. Everything about them. V'lam lo shamata b'kol Hashem. Here's a open-ended question to you. Why did you not listen to God's voice? V'tach el hashalol v'tas harab eini Hashem. And you went after the booty, the spoils, and you did something bad in the eyes of God. And if we look in the Mesudas Sion, he says the word batat in his inyan pericha of running towards something, kuma v'yoat bohem. Ratzalam mehirus halich, you went quickly, and v'yoat represents a certain animal, a vulture. A vulture is in the desert, circling and circling, looking at this poor guy who's stumbling in the desert, and then the second he dies, boom, they attack, like, without any hesitation. And that's what you did. Look at you, weren't supposed to keep these spoils, you're supposed to destroy them. Instead, you acted like a vulture trying to take all this money, all their spoils, all their possessions. And not only did you do that, but tas harab eini Hashem. You also did something bad in the eyes of God. And the Chofetz Chaim asks the obvious question on those words. His mistake, the king's mistake, was not that he did something bad. And his mistake is he didn't do something. Right? He was not doing what he was supposed to do. But the pasuk says, "Batas harab eini Hashem." He did something bad in the eyes of God. So the Chofetz Chaim interestingly explains that sometimes in life, it's not all or nothing. If you do something, it's better than nothing. At least you tried, you did something. So you can look at the fact that he destroyed a lot of Amalek, killed out a lot of the people, killed out all the bad animals, all the terrible, worthless possessions. So he did something. No. The Chofetz Chaim explains that if you do not listen exactly to the T, exactly as God told you to do, you're not acting in the ways of God. You're acting in your own accord. And therefore, if you would have destroyed and killed out everyone, then you'd have listened to the words of God. But if you didn't, even the smallest thing, it says, no, you did it yourself. And therefore, you're considered to be like a murderer. You had no right to kill these people except to listen because God told you to do it. You can't go and murder people. The only reason why you're allowed to do it is if you listen exactly what God says. So says the Chofetz Chaim that Shaul was likened to a murderer, murdering all these people, because he no longer was listening to the words of Hashem, and therefore was vatashara. What he did was evil. His action of killing people was evil in the eyes of God. Okay, that's how he explains it. So if you're not going in the ways of God, you're going completely on your own. And therefore, his actions were wrong. It wasn't his inactions. Pasukha. The Yomer Shaul El Shmuel, so Shaul continues, and he's listening to all this. Now Shaul was a great man at Tzaddik. You would think he would respond and say, you know what? I apologize. I wasn't thinking. I was pressured. I didn't mean to do it. That's not how he responds. Listen to this. The Yomer Shaul El Shmuel, he says, Asher Shemati B'Kol Hashem. What are you talking about? You must have the wrong guy over here. I might look like someone else that you wanted to rebuke today. But you can't be talking to me because I listened to the voice of God. I did everything that God wanted me to do. V'eilech b'derech asher shalachani Hashem. I went on the path that God asked me. I didn't do anything. I didn't divert from that path. But after all, you think I'm wrong? You think I didn't do anything bad against the Molech? The obvious Agag Melech Amalek, that's Amalek Hecharamti. All of the nation of Amalek is destroyed. And look at this guy, I have this king. This king isn't sitting in a, didn't put him up in a 5-star hotel. He's in chains. I'm going to kill him. He's right here. What are you talking about? What did I do wrong? I didn't do anything wrong.
What is Hecharamti?
Destroyed. I destroyed. I wiped out all of Amalek. What do I have left? One guy? Big deal. I'm not letting him off. He's right here. He's in chains. So I'm going to kill him. Relax. You know, I'm going to kill him in 5 minutes or 5 minutes ago. Still, Amalek's going to be destroyed. How could you tell me that I made a mistake?
That's an interesting word, by the way.
Pharaoh.
Yeah.
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 What? It
means
destroyed.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I guess putting excommunicating someone else destroys their reputation, destroys their. Yeah. So, but that's what I did. Oh, so 1 second. You want to come? How about all these beautiful animals that you hear in the background? They're not for me. I'm not keeping them. You think I'm doing it to stay wealthy? The nation did take some of the spoils, the sheep, the cattle, the reshit, which is the best of all the things that they have, which were everything else we destroyed. But why did we do this? Not for our own, to build up our Swiss bank accounts, right? To build up our IRAs. Was Baruch Hashem Elkecha BeGilgal. We're going to sacrifice them. We're going to bring them as offerings. They'll be destroyed. So, what did I really do? I didn't do anything wrong.
Right now, he's saying,
Hashem
Elkecha.
Right.
Why your God? He says, your God. Why is he not including himself in that?
The only way I could interpret it is that he's responding back to him. He's saying that, you think I hurt or harmed your God? I didn't harm you.
Including yourself. It's just your God.
Instead of our God.
Right. The end of the pasuk. It's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't know if no one here comments on that, but yeah, it's... It's something to think about for sure. Also, well, thank you, but I don't know. It could be. So if you look, yeah. Well, now, if an interesting redak over here, we're not going to see the whole thing, but pasachaf, which is the first very wide line, which is Asher Shemati B'Kol Hashem. This was the king speaking. It says Zeh Asher Amar Shaul. This which the king said, Hayahesik Ludibri Shaul, Shmuel. It was actually a break from what Shmuel said. Ki adayin lo hishlim devarav. Because Shmuel, the prophet, wasn't done speaking. He was in the middle of a sentence and cut him off. He interrupted him. V'lomer lo adayin ma shedibur olav Hashem. He didn't yet complete everything which God told him. Which, the significance of this, which you can see the rest of the redak, we don't have to for today, is the idea of a person is defensive. A person gets defensive, you start rebuking them, instead of them just sitting there and taking it like being a punching bag, which if you made a mistake, you should accept it. You should and hopefully change. But the fact that he didn't even allow Shmuel to continue in his conversation, he just cut him off. He says, what are you talking about? You're accusing me? What did I do wrong? So this shows how defensive a person can be, even a king, thinking that in his own mind that he did everything exactly as he was supposed to do. Which
is that the reason for that space between places here? Any reason for that? All those white spaces? Is there something that's not said, that's understood, or
the whole thing has white spaces?
No, that's what I'm asking. Over here, it would make sense that he didn't let him finish speaking; he cut him off.
The pasachaf, that would explain why there's that break, as though he didn't really finish, and he just right. That's certainly a possibility. And with that said, maybe we could maybe read that into the next pasuk as well. I'm not sure. We'll have to see. Pasachaf bet. V'yomer Shmuel, and Shmuel said, Hachifetz LaHashem Ba'olos Uzvachim is an interesting idea. That Hashem loves, we think Hashem loves the elevation offerings, all the sacrifices. Kishmoa B'kol Hashem. When a person listens to God's voice. Hinei Shemeya Mezevach. We hold listening is greater than Mezevach Tov from a great sacrifice. L'hachshi Mechelev Eilim. By listening is greater than the bringing of the fattiest of rams. So he said, listen, you're bringing all these sacrifices. Think God cares about the sacrifices? God wants you, right? God doesn't want a relationship. It's not just about giving gifts. It's the person behind the gifts. And if you're not someone that is interested in a relationship, listening to what God has to say, then what are all these gifts? They're meaningless. They don't have any value, right? You can't just give gifts instead of. Right.
Yeah, but if you're looking from the other pages, like this, so we follow through.
Oh, well, I don't know. I'm looking at that page.
But this is a constant theme that we're all going to be in. You know, God does not want your sacrifices. He wants
right.
you to listen.
Right. That's right. And this is something which Shaul is making a mistake in. He, for some reason, thought, sacrifices, that's good enough. Just bring the sacrifices. But this is what Shmuel says. This is how he reprimands him. But again, it gives us this message of how we rationalize our behavior, and instead of like what David HaMelech, we're constantly comparing and contrasting, we did last week, David HaMelech, the next king, which we'll be actually seeing next parak, hopefully next week, and this guy, that they both made mistakes. But at least admit when you made a mistake. You have to say chatasi. No one's perfect. But to just keep going on and just allowing cover-up after cover-up, it just compounds and makes things worse.
But does that jive with the way he's described as an honor, a modest person? Wouldn't a modest person not think of himself on such a high level that he could say, I'm sorry, or yes?
That's
insecure.
It's an inferiority complex. Insecurity.
I don't think he's on the same kind of
Moshe, but I don't think he's
such an honor to kill the king because he thinks that this is a king, he's the son of the king. It's like it's a whole chain of kingdom, and who am I? I was just a
that's
shepherd.
That's why I said I'm not sure that he's such an honor.
It says he's an honor.
Insecure.
It's brought down in the Sefer Chochma Musar. He says that Shaul. It's just two lines. Shaul merov sikaso, because of his abundant amount of righteousness. Hayakashulo ma'od ma'od al chataso asher shagan. It's very difficult for him to understand the sin which he committed. Ratzo lahastik his atzmo, because he knows he never makes mistakes. He wants to justify himself by saying that he's really right. He's really righteous still. Kimachavish sechus al atzmo, like he's trying to find some type of merit to attach himself. Shol yichar lo al atzmo al chataso. He can't possibly envision that he did any possible sin because he's so unaccustomed to sinning. V'nimsinu l'mani mizan. Therefore, we can learn from here. Hilo pa'ami merov sikas adam. Because a person is so righteous, yishached as atzmo. Shachad is like a bribe. You almost bribe yourself in your mind. L'chavish sechus al atzmo. V'zei yinata miha emes. Therefore, it's a way you can turn yourself from truth. Because our person is so unaccustomed to making a mistake, so when you do make a mistake, you say, one second, it can't be me, I couldn't have made a mistake, I'm perfect, I've never done anything wrong. It could almost compare it, as I see so many times, children who always get hundreds on tests, and they make one mistake, and it's wrong, but they will go up to their teacher and say, no, this is right, like, what are you talking about, it's wrong. They're just so used to being right, that they can't figure out how they could have possibly made a mistake. So that's how it's brought down, that sometimes your righteousness can go against you. That's how it's brought down. Okay. Let's see Pasuk Chaf Gimel.
We don't have sheets.
I guess you wanted to end this sooner.
Pasuk Chaf Gimel I don't have sheets for?
No.
I didn't bring anything for the last two pages?
No. We'll listen.
If you want, I can wait. I can make copies and be back in 2 minutes. Oh, okay. Fine. I apologize for that. Okay.
You're not my show.
Yeah, I guess so. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Ki chatas kesem meri v'avon v'serafim hatsar. So it says that he made a mistake, that there was the sin of kesem, which is a type of witchcraft, is compared to this rebelliousness. Serafim Hatsar. Terafim is similar to the idols that was taken by the house of Lavan. This is what it's compared to. The sin that you committed is comparable to idol worship. We'll explain why that's so. Yan Ma'asta es Tavar Hashem Yimo'asacha Mimelach. Because you rebelled against the words of Hashem, and he therefore has rejected you from being a king. So it's brought down in Rashi over here in this pasuk of Gimel. The Rashi says Hatsar is the language of Tosefes, that he continued to do something, which we're going to see is really he continued in his speaking. He spoke more than he should have. And the Radak more specifically says, Kolomar kamo shechata kesem hu chatas gedola. Why is the sin that the king committed, why is it comparable to this great sin of idol worship? Ki hu maser betachono me'akodesh baruch hu. But no sin betachono bekesem. A person removes a person's betachon. A person's supposed to have faith in God. Instead, a person says, you know what? God, I don't have such faith in him. I have faith in this rock, in this idol. That's the purpose of idol worship. That's the message you're sending when you're an idol worshiper. You say, I don't believe in and have faith that God will help me. This idol will have more power, has can give me more assistance, more help. Kein hu chatas gedola, chatas meri. So too is this great sin, the sin of him rebelling. Gumi shemara pi akel, by rebelling against God, bin osa mashit sivahu, by not doing what God commands you to do, ki achri sha'avra mitzvaso. Once you no longer do his commandment, hari hu kofer bo maser betachonu mimenu. It's like you've lost the faith in God. Because God told you to wipe out a Molech or to do any certain commandment, so here you are not doing it. It shows a lack of faith, just like a person who worships an idol. And it's brought down in Mesudas David. Mesudas David tells us, based on the words of Rashi, of Tosefus, of doing something very much, Ratzaloma, that's to say, Dabar HaTahu V'Hasheker She'esh B'Tarafim, something which is worthless and false, which is found in the idols, Dabar HaTahu She'hi B'Atzma Yesh B'Har B'Dvarim. So too is this waste and lack of value in speaking very much. That very often a person speaks too much, like the expression, you put your foot in your mouth, because by saying too much or exaggerating, that gives a person a certain perception that you're okay, that things are fine for you. As we explained before, that person who continues to rationalize their mistakes will end up not believing that they made any mistakes at all. It's brought down in the Mitzudos, who elaborates on this further. He says that there are two areas that a person could fail. You can fail on one level, and even after you fail, you can make a second mistake. He says, Ki af im adam lo amad v'nisayim, v'nichshol chalil. Let's say a person has a test. You have a certain tribulation, a certain test that God gives you, and you fail. You don't pass it. Mikol makom, nonetheless, im lo acher she'avar v'nisayim. After the test is passed, miyadhu makir b'chato, if you acknowledge that you failed, osu shechatuhu rak begeder shel nichshol, then you see that, I made a mistake, but you are able to perhaps improve yourself, be able to grow from those mistakes. Aval imhu matzadik atzma, if you think you're so great, b'muchun lehodos l'makir b'chato, you no longer acknowledge the mistakes that you made, nir b'kachshu mas chalil b'davar Hashem. It shows that you're completely rebelling against God. And therefore, that was the difference, as we mentioned before, as well as the Marsha, that David HaMelech failed a test, but at least he was acknowledging that he made a mistake, which gives him the opportunity to improve in the future. However, when it comes to Shaul, by continuing to rationalize and justify his behavior, avera gerera avera, one sin leads to another, it snowballs until a point of being out of control, and therefore, that's why Shaul's mistake was was much greater. Okay. We're now continuing the next pasuk, pasuk of Dalet. Pasuk tells us, V'yomer Shaul Shmuel. So Shaul at this point realizes he really blew it. Chatasi. I said, I was wrong. A little too late, but at least now he admits that he made a mistake. Ki avarti espi Hashem v'yestav arach, I violated, I went against God's words. Ki areisi esam. Why? Because I was afraid of the nation, of what they were saying. They were pressuring me. That's what the pasuk says. The Eshma Bekol, but I listened to them. They should have listened to me. I listened to them.
He's not kindling material.
He's no longer leader. He's a follower.
Right. And some actually learned out from this was another mistake. That even when he admits that he made a mistake, he's still blaming other people. He still cannot own up to his own mistake and take responsibility for his own actions. He says, I made a mistake because they told me to do it. I shouldn't have listened to them. What's right? That's the excuse. And it says, Kiresias, the nation. So Rashi tells us this nation was not necessarily the whole group of people. But Rashi tells us, Doag Hadomi. It was actually one person, his name was Doag. That Shahayu Choshim Kekulam, he's compared to everyone because he was a very powerful, influential leader who gave Shaul a lot of guidance, and in this case, he gave him not the best of guidance. So therefore, he said it was they that caused me to make this mistake. But nonetheless, I at least now acknowledge that I did make a mistake. Chatasi, I did in fact sin. Okay, fine. Now, one of the things that this pasuk tells us, it tells us here that he said, "Ki areisi esa'am." I was afraid of the nation. Which means he wasn't afraid of God. In fact, if you study, it's interesting that this is all about Amalek. In the parsha of Amalek, which is only three sentences, which we read at the very end of the Torah reading, it says, "Asher karcha baderech," that they attacked us from behind on the road. Right, via Zanev kol achrecha, and says v'lo yor elokim. Pasuk says they weren't God fearing. That's what it says about Amalek. They didn't fear God. And if we study, we're going to see about Yosef at Tzadik. When Yosef is in Mitzrayim, he says the pasuk eshu elokim ani yareg. I fear God. Right, which shows that a person like a Yosef, and only we see Yosef was able to defend himself against. When he was born, that was a time when he was able to go against Amalek because of the power of Yosef, because he was not afraid of people. He was only afraid of God. And the mistake that Shaul made was that he was not only afraid of Hashem, but he also was, he erased his awe. He also showed fear for people, for the nation. And that's not something which a leader, and certainly someone attacking Amalek, was supposed to do. Okay. Continuing in the next pasuk, the pasuk says, pasuk of hey. Va'ata now, sano es chatasi, please raise up my sin, forgive me, v'shuvimi v'shtach lo Hashem.